Hello, this is Dr. Laura Hannes-Webb of VisionarySoul.com, author of The Gift of ADHD and Listening to Depression, for my new program, The Sweet Spot, at www.psychjourneypodcast.com. Tune in weekly to find out where your passion meets your purpose. The show is committed to helping you find, embrace, and live in your sweet spot. Today, I'll be interviewing Dr. Jeffrey Brantley about his new book, 5 Good Minutes at Work. Dr. Brantley is a consulting associate in the Duke Department of Psychiatry and the founder and director of the Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction Program at Duke University Center for Integrative Medicine. He has represented the Duke MBSR program in numerous radio, television, and print interviews. He is the best-selling author of Calming Your Anxious Mind and co-author of 5 Good Minutes, 100 morning practices to help you stay calm and focused all day long. Welcome, Dr. Brantley.
Oh, thank you, Laura. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, well, this seems like a book that anybody in the world could benefit from. And I love this idea of 5 Good Minutes. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that means and how to make that happen?
Well, it's thank you. It's one of a series, actually. We have a series of, we have 4 of these books planned. And the idea of the 5 Good Minutes, I was approached by the publisher, New Harbinger, a while back, and they said, well, could we do, 5-minute exercises that might help people in different situations, in the day and night, at work, and with people, relationships and people they love and all that. And at first I wasn't so sure, but then I got to thinking about the power of the present moment, which is really what mindfulness is about and what a lot of people are talking about anymore and have for since ancient times, really, the power of being present. Mm-hmm. And so I had the idea, and this is sort of the form the book take, all the books take, 5 Good Minutes. The first minute is to establish yourself in the present moment, to be present. And you can do that by doing a simple mindfulness exercise like paying attention to your breathing or your movement or different things. So presence is the first minute. The second minute is to set your intention. So in the workbook, for example, your intention might be that I'm going to, may I be more relaxed and at ease, releasing stress at work kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So establish presence, set an intention, and then wholeheartedness, which means to do the next, 3 or 4 minutes or whatever the little exercise is without an attachment to outcome, without demanding anything dramatic, but actually just putting your whole heart in it and seeing what might follow from that. So presence, intention, and wholeheartedness are the kind of the foundation principles. And all the exercises are based in that, either explicitly or implicitly. And they're really all based in being present consciously while you do what you do.
Mm. Well, I wonder if you would be willing to guide listeners and right now give us 5 Good Minutes.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
And let me just say, I was thinking about, part of the idea of this book, one of the themes is, how would it help you at work? And one of the areas was that I wrote in there and thought about was safety on the job.
Ah.
That it's not necessarily just about some kind of warm, fuzzy feel-good, although that's important. but it's really, on the job, it's practical and all that, too. And so safety. And the safety involves not, both immediate and kind of acute situations involving your body, like lifting something or that. And also chronic, repetitive risk. If you're doing the same task over and over, even including sitting at your computer for too many hours without a break. So the idea of being mindful, of paying attention on purpose, and learning how to tune into your body's experience in the present moment, it's easier than you might think. You're naturally able to do it. And to do it on purpose could actually have some safety benefits for people.
Okay.
So that's one exercise we could do. And there's another one I thought about, which is about the attitude of kindness and friendliness and how that's important in the area of reducing stress and emotional intelligence and workplace relationships. And we could do one around that, too, or I could just talk about that.
Why don't we start? Why don't we actually go through the one on friendliness?
Oh, okay.
I think workplace conflict is an issue that is, I mean, as I, again, I said at the beginning, it seems like almost everyone in the world could use some help with that. So.
Okay. So just so again, the setup on this, the idea is that without realizing it, a lot of the time we get stuck in our unpleasant or negative reactions to situations and people, including being stuck in the thoughts that we have and the way we are thinking about them or feeling towards them. You know, like, I don't like you, I wish you'd go away, all that sort of thing, that kind of attitude, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so what people don't realize, and there's actually, again, some kind of growing, very interesting neuroscience nowadays that talks about neuroplasticity and the changeability of the brain and how brain circuitry actually changes. And when you do certain kinds of meditation, you can light up different circuits than when you do other kinds, or you don't do meditation at all.
Oh.
And so, I think his name is David Spiegel, or Daniel, I'm not sure his first name, but Spiegel, or Siegel, down there at UCLA, he's a psychiatrist. He's got a book called The Mindful Brain, and a woman named Sharon Begley, who is, I think, a science editor for the Wall Street Journal, has a current popular book out called Train Your Mind, Change Your Brain,
wow,
which are two interesting books that point to this really state-of-the-art kind of discoveries in neuroscience about these brain circuits. So how that links to this exercise we're going to do is really that we're going to do a simple exercise where a person is invited, your listeners are invited to imagine somebody that they work with and to imagine speaking to them in a friendly way. It's a variation of an ancient meditation practice called loving kindness.
Mm.
So you wish someone else well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give some sample phrases. You can pick your own. And then at the very end of it, we'll have them shift and actually wish themselves that.
Mm.
We can do that. You know, we can take 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, whatever you want to do with it. But that's the setup for it,
yeah,
is to work with the, not to be stuck in the habitual patterns of resistance and fighting and war making, possibly activate some different brain circuitry and shift our relationship to others and ourselves in an intentional way.
Well, let's get started. Let's just go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. And it's easier than you might think. All that stuff's just kind of like, you know, blah, blah, blah jargon. But
well, that's the good effects that happen from it. And again, I'm just tickled that, you know, you're a conventionally trained psychiatrist and you're saying that, you know, these next few minutes we spend have an impact on brain circuitry. And I think it's a good message to get out there that, you know, medications will change your brain, but there's a lot of other ways to change your brain.
That's right.
And this is one of
That's
them.
Right.
I love that.
That's right. Okay, so if you're ready, we'll go, what, we'll do 3 or 4 minutes here?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so the first minute would be let's just make yourself comfortable. And you don't, despite all that I said, you don't have to make anything happen or change who you are. Just relax and explore and see what might happen. And it can help to actually pay attention to your body and let yourself kind of just tune into the sensations of the inner body, feeling your feet on the floor maybe, or your hands in your lap or on the chair, your back against the chair. And if you're lying down or standing or moving somehow as you listen to this, that works too. You can just tune into the sensations of your body in whatever position you're in. As you tune in, let yourself relax and let the sensations roll over you like waves. You don't have to fight them or change them, but let your awareness open and include what's happening. And if you're having any thoughts or reactions or stories, you don't have to fight them and you don't have to follow them either. So letting your attention come back as often as necessary and feel the sensations of the body and the breath. Just relaxing here into the present moment, noticing those sensations. Now, if you'd like, or when you're ready, you could imagine connecting with feelings of well-wishing and friendliness in yourself, feeling of happiness, for example, that if you have a good friend taking a trip, you'd say something like, have a good trip, enjoy yourself, be safe, be happy. You know, the feelings of friendliness and open-heartedness that are in all of us. If you like, you can imagine kind of letting those feelings come into the foreground of your awareness now, as best you can. And now just imagine, think of somebody you work with. Might be best to start with somebody you like or have kind of a neutral relationship with, not some adversary. But think of a person you work with and imagine that they're standing there in front of you or sitting there in front of you. And imagine speaking to them as you would a friend taking a trip, wishing them well. You might say something like, may you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be filled with peace. May you be safe. May you be filled with peace. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. It's almost like a little lullaby you sing quietly, wishing this person well. When your mind wanders, you haven't made a mistake. Just gently come back and imagine speaking to your friend or your colleague again. And you could use other words. You don't have to use those. Or just one phrase or one word. May you be well. And for the last few moments of this practice, let go of the image of your coworker. Feel your body and your breath. And imagine speaking to yourself with the same kindness, using any word or phrase that you like. Something like, may I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be filled with peace. May I be safe. May I be happy, healthy, peaceful, and safe. When you're ready, just stopping this practice by opening your eyes and, if you like, move your fingers and toes a little bit. Thank you.
Wow. You know, it's easy to see how such, you know, that those few minutes could turn your whole day around. It's really,
it's amazing, isn't it, really?
Yeah. You know, because the title of the book, Five Good Minutes at Work, it just, you know, I mean, it seems like, oh, well, okay, that's great to have 5 good minutes, but what you can see when you go through the exercise is that it could turn your whole day around.
Yeah, and you know, you don't have to limit yourself to 5 good minutes.
Yeah, you could just
Somebody asked me the other day, I was doing a magazine interview, and they said, you know, could I do longer? And I said, by all means.
Yeah, or you could do 5 minutes every single hour. Or
right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you some other interesting things I've done with this is sometimes in a group, like if you've got a, you know, your work group, you know, and you start your meeting with 5 minutes like that, you know.
Yeah,
and take turns. One person reads it and the others don't have to listen. They just follow through, you know, and do it. It can be a pretty interesting thing to do in different ways, really.
Yeah, it's easy to imagine that, you know, again, the whole feel or culture or atmosphere of a meeting could turn around by starting in that way.
Yeah, yeah. We start most of our meetings at Integrative Medicine at Duke with a few minutes of silent practice. We don't always get into the phrases like this, but we do usually start with some kind of silence.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Now, is there anything in the book, or do you have any message or insight for people who say, well, what if I'm just exhausted? How do I get inspired from that place?
Right. Well, we do have some different exercises around relaxing and noticing fatigue and all of that. And I think the core on that, in a way, is to pay attention to what's happening right now. You know, it's like kindness for yourself and intelligence about that. So that if somebody stops and breathes and pays attention to their body like we just did, and they realize they're exhausted, maybe the wisest stress reduction or health step they could take would be to actually take a nap or go to bed early that night or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not just about trying to find ways to keep ourselves stimulated and moving, but really how to relate in the wisest, healthiest way with what's going on.
Well, I think that's wonderful because it seems like one thing most people experience is this compulsion to work because work is so highly rewarded in so many ways, whether it be financially or approving nods or whatever it might be. And yet the place where the rubber hits the road is that point where if you were being kind to yourself, you would just stop.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the rewards for stopping aren't obvious.
No, they're not, you know, and in one of our other book, the evening book, one of the sections, the whole section of exercise is about leaving work at work, because it's hard for people to leave it at work, you know. Even if they don't have to work from home, their mind is replaying the experiences or they're planning tomorrow, even when they don't want to be. You know, they wake up at 2 a.m. and they don't want to be planning tomorrow, but there it is, you know.
Yeah. And now what about the other side of the coin, the person who's not so much driven to work, but they're maybe in the opposite, where they're just like, I don't have any motivation. They have no.
Right.
Yeah.
There's an interesting, the idea of mindfulness, you know, paying attention on purpose with an open heart and an open mind, without demanding a change. One of the exercises is called Fresh Eyes. And in this book, and the idea is to, if you're doing a repetitive task of what you're bored with and you just, you know, had enough of it and all that, is to practice bringing fresh eyes to it, a kind of beginner's mind, you might say. You know, so stopping, and instead of being caught up in your aversion to it, actually just paying attention to what's going on and yourself as you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you might, and can you begin to see something new here, you know, something might even be interesting in a way. And, you know, so it's like to approach the preciousness of each moment of our life and have some respect for that.
Mm, yeah, that's beautiful. And, you know, one of my big interests is attention deficit disorder, which seems almost like a cultural condition these days.
Yeah.
Are there any tips? And I mean, of course, you don't have to have it. I think most people have these symptoms of not being able to focus.
Right.
How is there anything in the book? How do you have 5 good minutes when you just cannot stay focused, and you and there's just so many competing demands?
Right. Well, I think one of the issues around that, in a way, that's helped me. I look at this and talk to people and work in my own life, is to recognize that the capacity to focus attention in many, many respects is actually like exercising a muscle. That we can train our concentration, train our attention, and if we train it to stay in one place, it'll stay there more. And if we train ourselves, or if we're unconsciously being trained and conditioned toward inattention and distraction, which is, I think, a huge factor in our culture.
Yeah.
You know, just look at a TV commercial. How many things are competing for your attention in that 30 seconds?
Yeah.
You know, so the inattention and the distractedness, if it seems to be growing, I think it's because our whole culture, intentionally or not, is moving in that direction, and there's more competition. And so if people find they can't concentrate as well, it may well be that they've been kind of trained toward inattention. And this whole sort of glorification of multitasking is, I think, that's kind of the shadow side of that. You know, and so one of the things about meditation practices is that we are training our attention as part of it. So like when we were doing the breath, you know, and the body, attention to the breath and the body there, or even the repeating of those phrases, you know, may I be happy, healthy, peaceful, safe, to pick any sort of meditation object and just keep doing that for even a few minutes at a time, even a few times a day. In fact, you can think of it as like exercising your concentration muscle.
Right.
And you may find that you're over time, or if you do it enough, that your concentration capacities will actually shift somewhat.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, well, that's I really like that idea. And one other thing I think of in terms of the theme of the sweet spot is it seems like people could build their attention, like you say, lifting weights or building their muscles, by starting off doing, you know, paying attention to things they love, whether it
Absolutely.
Be being, you know, if they love their kids, being, you know, mindful of their kids and being present with them rather than just managing them, or if whatever, find some activity that is they feel is really in line with their purpose, and that will be easy to pay attention in some ways, and meanwhile they can be building that capacity to stay focused.
That's a great idea, Laura, really, because, you know, it's like, and how many people would tell you that they went home and their kids were playing with them and their mind was somewhere else?
Yes, yeah.
You know, and they don't like that. We have people come to our classes, our stress reduction classes. That's one of their complaints. They want more quality time with their family and they can't get their mind where their body is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And but it is something, it's helpful to tell people, you know, that it's not a permanent condition, for the most part anyway,
but
it is trained, and your mind is trainable, your attention is trainable, and it can be very skillful to start with being in a place you like with someone you love and see, and just keep bringing your attention back there and notice how often it moves, mm-hmm. without judging yourself or criticizing yourself as a failure, but just to begin to be aware and to train yourself to put your attention where you want it.
Mm. Well, it's just wonderful to hear such wisdom from a conventionally, and surprising to find such wisdom from a conventionally trained psychiatrist. But thank you so much, Jeffrey Brantley. And do you have a place you want to direct our listeners to find your books?
Well, yes, and thank you for being on, for inviting me, and appreciate all your listeners listening and all that, and best of luck to you. The books are available at any of the major booksellers and Amazon.com, and our publisher is New Harbinger Publications out in Oakland, and all of those places have websites too. So.
Oh, well, thank you so much. This is Dr. Laura Hannes-Webb of VisionarySoul.com.